You're listening to Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLARadio.com. Daily Bruin Sports is your ultimate source for UCLA athletics, and Out of Bounds provides you with an in-depth look at the UCLA sports scene like nobody else can. Here are your hosts, Andrew Erickson, Kevin Bowman, and Jason Dranch.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLARadio.com. I am Daily Bruin Sports senior staffer and basketball beat writer Andrew Erickson.
And I am Daily Bruin Sports editor and basketball co-beat writer Kevin Bowman.
Kevin, I'm a little, I'm excited to be traveling this week. I'm going to Salt Lake City and Denver, of course, this weekend. But looking at the forecasts, it just brings a tear to my eye, a tear that will end up being frozen because it's going to be a low of 25 just about every day.
Yeah, we had an 81 degree in LA here tomorrow, and it's going to be, what, 25, you said?
It's going to be 25. And so my mom insisted that I get a winter coat, and thank you, Mom, of course. I appreciate it. I know you're listening, one of our four listeners right now, so I appreciate that. UCLA will be taking on Colorado and Utah later on this weekend, and we'll, of course, get into that. But first, I think we should talk about a little bet we made last week. And the bet was that if UCLA kept it within 10 points or won against Arizona, that I would win the bet, and that if they lost by more than 10, as would be expected of a fantastic Arizona squad, that you would win the bet. But, of course, the Bruins hung on until the bitter end, of course, tied at 68-68, but ultimately fell 79-75 to the Wildcats on Thursday. And, Kevin, you know what that means, that something bad will end up happening to you, as always happens. So, folks, after the show, I'd like you to check out Kevin Bowman's Twitter, at KBO123. And you'll notice a certain picture of Steph Curry playing a fantastic Fisher-Price kids game known as Twister. And it's frequently what he does with his ankles. So it's making fun of the fact that he balls on glass a little bit. And, Kevin, you're gonna enjoy that.
It's been, like, a good year since he's done anything to him. I know I jinxed it right now. I should stop talking.
As a person who frequently does it to his own ankle, I mean, I Steph and I are one and the same. So the joke's on me as well. I hope you know that.
I have two ankle braces of my own. I'm wearing them right now.
Okay.
I'm not.
Well, okay. Yeah, you're not. Anyway, let's go right into the Westwood Weekend Review. And Kevin was so nice to prepare this for us. Mm-hmm. Men's volleyball won the Outrigger Hotels Invitational, defeating Hawaii in the finals after earning victories over Penn State and Ohio State. Penn State and Ohio State, two of the greater, I'd say more Penn State, but one of the best men's volleyball programs in the country. So good win, good showing for the Bruins altogether, getting three wins early mm-hmm. on the season.
And moving on, gymnastics also had their first meet of the year. They lost by 0.025 points to the defending national champions Florida in their season-opening meet. And I think Danuja Francis had some, what they were calling, a never-before-done dismount on the beam?
Balance beam.
Balancing beam. And she stuck it, I guess. She got a 9.9, which people were kind of disappointed. I thought she should have gotten higher, but...
I heard not her, but somebody else also slipped off the balance beam, and that was what ultimately led to the .025 that they lost by.
So, yeah, tough break.
Yeah, tough break. So close against the top team in the country, but I think they're a team that could qualify for the Super Six, which is ultimately the end goal there. Women's basketball beat Arizona 67-61 on Friday and lost to Arizona State 59-57. On Sunday. I say Sunday twice.
I don't even know.
Friday, Sunday. That was just a bad state of affairs. But 1-1 on the weekend. Kind of getting a little bit better, I think this team is, but still not. I don't think they're really tournament potential just yet. I mean, I don't want to write them off just yet.
No, you can write them off. You could have written them off at the beginning of the year.
When
Kerry Korver and Casey Swain, they just have no front court depth. So, and lastly, men's basketball, as you mentioned, fell short against Arizona. They lost 79-75 Thursday, but they rebounded against Arizona State in more ways than one, doing a good job on the glass and also coming back from that loss against Arizona to win 87-72.
It sounds like we both have a case of the Mondays a little bit. We're jumbling our words, we're getting all flustered, and yeah. So I'd like to start off by talking a little bit about that recent loss to Arizona. Other than Michigan, UCLA was the closest team to knocking off Arizona this season. They, as we mentioned, that Jordan Adams three late in the game, I think with like 1:44 left. No, well, with 1:44 left, they were leading by one, but Jordan Adams tied the game with a three, 68 all, and Pauly was the loudest really we've heard it since the reopening, and. At this point, you have to ask yourself, how far can the Wildcats go without losing a game?
So, I think it can be a while. The Pac-12 doesn't look great compared to Arizona. They're clearly on a different class than everyone else, and there's going to be a game. I don't think they're going to go undefeated. There's going to be a game at some point where they slip up and someone else has a great night. But I don't know. They can get to 20. I can see.
Yeah. But oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think they can get
about
to 20
16 right now.
I think really the toughest thing for them is going to be playing Cal on the road. I think that's really the one team that can beat them right now. Oregon, for some reason, has lost their last three. They've kind of fallen off. Stanford's not very good. UCLA is a little...
Not going to play them again.
Yeah, they're not going to play them again until at least the Pac-12 tournament. And I just... In Colorado, just lost Spencer Dinwiddie. So, I mean, you're talking about a one and then, like, a four. Like, they're a one and everybody else is a four or worse. And so, I don't see it happening. But, you know, we saw Bryce Alford was kind of clutch. He was one of the main proponents. I think he scored 5 points in that 13-0 run that they had to tie up the game. Seems like he's kind of deserving, maybe more or less, the playtime he's getting. I was a little bit of a non-believer early on, but it seems like even in the face of pressure in this Arizona game's, you know, one of the biggest pressure points UCLA's had all season, that he's performed more or less.
Yeah, I think he still has some issues with trying to do too much when he's kind of the primary ball handler. But if he just plays within his own game, spot-up shooter, he's really good at that. And I think that's the role that he's kind of growing into more and more.
Right now, I actually just saw the Joe Lunardi bracketology thing, and it has UCLA, I think, as a 7 seed in Orlando. Mm-hmm. So they haven't been listed as higher than a 7 seed or higher than a 6 seed, but they haven't been listed lower than a 7 seed all season. So I think you're kind of looking at anywhere from a 6 to 9 range. I don't see them as maybe any better than that unless they knock off Arizona late in the season. Maybe you're talking about a 5. But they almost want to be, if you're going to be that range, be at 12, because then you get to play in San Diego as a 12 seed. And so, I mean, 12-5, maybe you can get a win there, and then you have a better second-round matchup, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, with the season, they've played 3 teams that are now ranked, I think, and then with Oregon's losses and Colorado's losing their one of the best players, those teams are kind of falling out of the top-ranked teams.
Yeah.
So you don't really know if you say they're going to get another ranked opponent on their schedule, and they're already at, like, 200 and something in the strength of schedule, I think.
Right.
So it's not going to be a super high seeding for them, I don't think.
And, of course, as we'll talk about later with my cousin Jack, UCLA won 87-72 over ASU last night, and Zach LaVine scored 19 points and kind of lit things up in the first half, scoring 10 points in a row. And we talked to Zach LaVine after the game.
Zach, there was one point in the first half where you scored 10 points in a row for your team. I mean, do you feel like tonight more than ever you kind of found your rhythm again?
I'm not found it again. Sometimes it's hard getting the flow, in the team sometimes. But today I was just a little bit more aggressive. I took about 500 shots a day this week. So I knew my jumper was on, so I just felt like I just come in and be a little bit more aggressive.
Zach, I know this is a new experience for you. You probably haven't come off the bench very often.
Yeah.
What sort of mindset is it knowing when you go in, you got a chance to change the flow of the game? How much fun is that?
Well, it is what it is. Coach wants me to come off the bench and be a spark with Bryce, and I'm accepting my role right now, and it's coming off the bench, we're some of the most exciting players in the country right now. Everyone's talking about the UCLA freshmen, so it's a little different. But just accepting your role, and most of all, we're just trying to look for dubs.
Yeah, and LaVine, of course, guarded Jahi Carson pretty well, and the Bruins altogether played better defense. And actually, Coach Steve Alford talked about that a little bit after the game.
Your guards kind of shutting you down.
Well, we might have to play him again, so no, if I actually knew the key, I'd share that. But, I just thought our guys had a good demeanor to him. We did a good job of – he's so good in transition, and he didn't get too much out in transition where he gets in the open floor. He's very fast, very quick, didn't make a three-point shot because I thought all of his three-point shots, with maybe the exception of one, was highly challenged. We did a good job of keeping him in front, and then it goes back to the last question. We were in good defensive position. You're not going to play Carson one-on-one. You got to get help, and I thought our guys were in much better help. I think we took a charge tonight. So, there's a lot of miracles happening. But I just thought our defensive position was much better because both he and Bijanik are really difficult to play against, one inside, one outside, and I thought we did a good job on both.
Just for the record, his name is Baczynski, but of course we will talk about that a little bit more with my cousin Jack when we get back. This is Out of Bounds Daily Bruins Sports on UCLARadio.com. Welcome back, everybody. This is Out of Bounds of Daily Bruins Sports here on UCLARadio.com. Our guest tonight is a writer for DevilsDigest.com and just happens to be my cousin. Jack, welcome onto the show. Kevin and I are very happy to have you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Nothing much, but I saw you tweeted last night. There was a tweet. You said, without that 35-9 run, this is a win for ASU. You know, it's all about perspective. Seeing a number like that, 35-9, I mean, what was your reaction to that and just kind of the performance of ASU overall last night?
You know, I think with ASU, especially this year, they really like to get themselves in funks, and they like to get themselves deep runs and deep holes, and basically that happens every time Steve Carson has two fouls, three fouls, or four fouls. As soon as he leaves the floor, everything falls apart. So it is not exactly new news. Top-heavy squad, and we have no idea what to do when he's not in there.
I remember seeing you at an ASU-UCLA tailgate at the Rose Bowl about a month or so ago here, and I mentioned Jahai. I said Jahai Carson, and, you know, it was a very embarrassing moment about the mispronunciation on the name. He played like a little bit of a Jahai last night. I think he was 4 of 17 from the field. Really, you know, from seeing highlights and stuff, I haven't seen him play like that really all season. What do you think was different about him last night, and what do you think it'll take for him to kind of get out of that funk?
You know, I think he is really good at attacking a point guard that is slower than him. What UCLA has is three guards. None of them are really point guards. And they kind of clog the middle. So there's really nothing there. And they did, and the Ware twins did a good job of sealing off the Kinsey. And so what happens is he likes to play kind of a one-on-one game. If he sees a hole, he takes it. And then there's nothing there. And apparently he likes to think he's a jump shooter. And that's what happens. Once he started missing a few, it was going to be a long night for us. No doubt about it.
And in Carson's place, Jermaine Marshall kind of went off last night. Is that something you expect to see more of this season?
You know, when Jermaine transferred from Penn State, no one really knew what to expect. We had never really taken advantage of that senior transfer rule, and we knew he was a good scorer. We knew he was a good athlete, but we didn't really know exactly what he would add to this offense. And he is turned out to be a tremendous perimeter shooter. He doesn't slash as much as we'd like, but, you know, when he does, he gets points. And, you know, scoring is the name of the game, and he's able to put up some buckets. But you wish he was a little more consistent and could kind of jive with he and Baczynski a little more.
Yeah, and you mentioned Baczynski. Steve Alford, actually, after last night's game, just butchered his name and called him Jordan Biznik. Just horrible. I remember him being more dominant, and this might just be memories of him going up against Josh Smith and Tony Parker last season, maybe the Wares. But is it the hair? Is it, you know, just a recent funk he's in? I know he dominated USC, but what did UCLA do against him to maybe even limit him? I know he still got 8 rebounds, but he didn't necessarily do as much against the USC big guys.
Yeah, I think with UCLA and the Ware twins are your classic senior big man. I mean, they can hit the mid-range jumper. They don't get baited when he's down low. And so what they do with Baczynski is they just shoot over him, they shoot around him. Mm-hmm. And then we switch to a matchup zone, honestly, late in the first half when the run was getting out of hand. And, you know, I mean, Norman Powell drove through. I think Baczynski realizes there's no depth behind him, and especially in a game like that where if the comeback is even going to be possible, he cannot be on the bench. I think he gets in his own head a little and gets a little more tentative, especially in larger deficits.
And ASU's next 5 games aren't really that easy. They have at Arizona, at home against Colorado and Utah, and then on the road at Stanford and Cal. How many wins do the Sun Devils get out of those 5 games?
you hate to take advantage of Spencer Dinwiddie's injury.
Yeah, no, everyone's going to be doing that.
You have to look forward to that Utah and Colorado stretch that are coming up. I mean, Arizona on Thursday, I mean, hide your wife and hide your kids. That is going to be a bloodbath. I think, I mean, there's really no answer for Aaron Gordon on this Arizona State roster. There's really no answer for Nick Johnson. There's really no answer for any of those guys. So that's going to be tough. But you look ahead, you see a little bit of brightness on the horizon. Utah at home, Colorado at home, both of those are very winnable games. And then you head out to Cal and Stanford. I mean, you don't know what talent favorite team you're going to get. They've both been pretty inconsistent, but at the same time, if you can take two out of the next three and then salvage a split in the Bay Area, you're setting yourself up nicely for a run later in the season, and ASU is certainly going to need it, especially with the hot seat that Herb Sendek is on and all the players leaving after this season. There's a lot of urgency that needs to be on this season.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you mentioned maybe not a lot of tournament success recently, and this team is not necessarily up and down. I mean, they're a good team, but how hot is Herb Sendek's seat right now? And I mean, do you see him beyond this season as ASU's head coach?
You know, it's funny. Herb came to us from NC State on their own accord, but in a very similar situation he's in now. He was in the ACC. He was on tobacco road. He couldn't beat Duke. He couldn't beat UNC. He had trouble against Wake Forest. But he won 20 games six or seven times, and he went to the tournament only once. And he had one start against Julius Hodge, and everyone at NC State was kind of happy to see him go. And we at ASU, we were thrilled. We had a successful coach who had a lot of wins, and we thought, hey, maybe this guy's the answer. 8 years later, every single NC State fan hit it on the head. He's been there for 8 years, one tournament. We beat Temple in the first round. We lost it. He's in the second round, and that was James Harden's swan song at ASU. And yeah, since then, we've been really up and down. I mean, how hot is this seat? I mean, you look at the roster right now, 73% of the scoring leaves after this year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're looking at the four leading scorers, Jahee, Baczynski, Marshall, and Shaq McKissick. Those guys are all gone. You probably saw the roster last night. There was no one else doing much for ASU. Mm-hmm. The recruiting class is looking pretty good, but there's no stars. So, I mean, you ask how hot it is, the hottest possible team you can imagine. And you wonder, even if he does salvage his job after this season, because I know his buyout's pretty hefty, he could leave. I mean, I wouldn't blame him. There's really not a lot. The grass is not very green after this season.
Yeah, especially if you have Gilling taking 20 shots per game next season. So hopefully that doesn't.
John Gilling missed more wide open threes than anyone I've ever seen. He'll drop buckets in the guy's hands right in his eyes, but he cannot hit the open three. It is baffling.
Joe Lunardi actually has UC Santa Barbara right now in that 12 seed in San Diego. I think the Sun Devils could maybe get that. What's your prediction for ASU this season, and where do you think they'll ultimately end up? Do you see a possible tournament, first-round tournament game?
I mean, let's be honest. I graduated from ASU 6 years ago. I've got a lot of high hopes for these guys. This is the best team we've had since we had James Harden and Jeff Pendergrass. You look at the schedule right now. I mean, if we can take three out of these next five, then we have Oregon State and Oregon coming through. Those are both winnable games at home, especially with Oregon playing the way they're playing now. You have to look at ASU probably has to go 11-7 in the conference, probably win a game in the Pac-12 tournament. So they can do it. They just need to get hot. And as you saw last night, I mean, you had there's kind of a three-headed monster. Mm-hmm. And he's the glue, but Baczynski and Marshall have to be on with him every time. And you put those three. You put those three together, and they do successful things. They can win eight more games, nine more games, and they can dance. But it is going to take at least one or two upsets. And ASU is the only team in the Pac-12 that has to play Colorado, Oregon, and Arizona twice.
Yeah,
we don't catch any breaks, but at the same time, that might be the break that we do catch. But we get to play those guys multiple times. We might be able to pull off a few upsets.
Yeah. Well, Steve Alford is certainly glad that he doesn't have to make that Arizona trip. But, Jack, thanks so much for coming on the show, and tell the family I said hi.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me, and go Devils.
All right. Appreciate it. And we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Out of Bounds Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLARadio.com. Welcome back. This is Out of Bounds of Daily Bruin Sports with UCLARadio.com. If you don't know, now you know. I've probably said that introduction about five times today. But Kevin, you know, as we talked about before, it's a tough road trip coming up with Colorado and Utah. But as you know, we obviously mentioned, it's gotten a little bit easier.
Yeah, so we have Colorado guard Spencer Dinwiddie. I guess yesterday's game, he tore his ACL, apparently. A bit of a, I don't know, it's he was one of their best guards, I think, and not having him, it certainly doesn't make things easier for Colorado going forward. They were, I think, the number two team in the Pac-12. They were near the top of the Pac-12, but they had lost, I think, Washington State.
They made it close.
Utah lost to Washington State. Sorry,
They took him to overtime.
But it's definitely not having him. That it definitely makes things easier for UCLA. So that's one extra or one less person they have to go up against. A tough trip in the conditions and stuff up in the Rockies. So.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that game getting easier, but I love the reaction that Spencer Dinwiddie has. You know, he's the rock of that team. He's a leading scorer, leading assists guy, leading steals guy. You know, obviously a huge bummer, but he's not taking it upon himself to pout or anything. He's just going back, getting ready for next season. I'm going to read a few of his tweets, actually. Thanks for all the love and support. Most people tweet something sappy in this situation, but y'all know that ain't my style. I always tell you I think I'm invincible, and I still do, but sadly I'm human. And in being human, I'm mad, really mad. You guys know what this year was supposed to be. Right off into the sunset with Pac-12 championship in hand and completing my childhood dream. But the way I played was in case this happened. I have the utmost confidence the team will handle this and continue to have success. With that said, I want to thank all those that have prayed for me. I don't regret coming back to school. I had one of the most fun summers of my life. I only hurt for my family, mainly my dad. Time to attack rehab, get the swelling out, surgery in a week, coming in my birthday month. And as my favorite player, Kobe Bryant, would say, Mayor out. So, you know, really cool, positive outlook. I don't know if he's coming back. I mean, probably will be, just because, you know, his draft stock will go down. Teams won't know necessarily that he's healthy. But we're talking about a guy that has a role in an NBA team in the future if he can get, you know, his knee back to full strength. And, you know, good for him. Bummer for the Colorado Buffaloes, because honestly, it hurts the whole conference when one of your top 25 teams becomes a non-top 25 team. And so, yeah, I mean, it sucks. It sucks that, you know, UCLA experienced that, potentially a Sweet 16 team last year. You know, you might see Ben Howland as coach if Jordan Adams doesn't get hurt. It's just the plain and simple truth of it.
Mm-hmm. And as I kind of mentioned a little earlier, in a way this does adversely affect UCLA sort of too.
Yeah.
Just in the fact that Colorado is most likely no longer going to be as high of an RPI type team and not going to be ranked as high. So assuming they get the win on Thursday, it's not going to look as good in the schedule. So, I mean, it helps them in the fact that they will be able to get the win most likely, but it hurts them that the win won't look as good. So,
yeah, so we mentioned some of the younger guards. I think they're going to have – you'll see a little bit more of Xavier Talton and Jerron Hopkins. I think those are the two freshman guards that are probably going to have a little bit more – you know, a little bit more on their plates. And then, obviously, the bigger scorers are Askia Booker and Josh Scott. But I guess Booker did not have a very good game. I think he was 0-for-9 from the field. In their most recent game against Washington. So, you know, I don't know about that. And then you have Utah, of course, in the next game. They've kind of been a little bit of a giant killer, but I'm not sure they're very good. They just dropped one to Washington State, really probably the worst team in the entire conference. And granted, it was on the road. It was the last part of a road trip, but that's not good to see. And I'm not sure it speaks too well that, you know, how good of a team this is.
If you look at Utah's stats, it can be a little bit deceptive. At least a week or so ago, they had, I think they were one of the fifth best team or something in the entire nation in offense. They had, I think, the top shooting percentage in the nation. So the offense looks like it's there, but they're clearly not performing against teams that are actually, well, I mean, Washington State's not even that great of a team. So I don't know, it's a little bit deceiving if you check out the stats and make it seem like they're a good team. But.
Yeah, like their adjusted tempo is crazy high. I think they average like the second highest scoring offense in the country, but it's against scrub teams. Like their entire non-conference slate was just garbage. So, yeah, we'll kind of see the real Utah as the next couple weeks unfold here. But Kevin, before we go, any other UCLA sports you see coming up this week?
Well, women's water polo starting their season this weekend. I think they're playing
Cal Baptist.
Right? Cal Baptist and Concordia, I want to say.
Always tough matchups.
It should be a really tough start for them, yeah. And let's see, women's tennis and men's tennis get started this weekend as well. I think it's just some individual tournaments, but season's kind of starting to pick up again. So lots of starts getting, the spring, winter kind of stuff's getting started. So good stuff to watch out for.
All right, Kevin, thank you for the update. And we will, of course, give you the update on the Utah-Colorado trip next week. But until then, we will sign off.